Chapter 11. The next time Stiles sees Isaac, he's wearing a collar identical to Stiles's. He gives Stiles a shy smile and says, "I guess we're brothers now," so Stiles gives him a high five. He doesn't say anything about Isaac's father or what he saw in the basement. What can he possibly say to that? He'll leave that to professionals. In the meantime, Scott had invited Isaac to stay with him for a little while, and from the way Melissa McCall had melted in concern when she heard the story, Stiles suspects that that will become a permanent arrangement. Which is okay by him. Scott is his bro, no matter what. The last week of the ceremonies, as far as Stiles can tell, doesn't really have many events. The idea, generally, seems to be for all the werewolves to just cram together into a small space at the convention hotel and snarl at each other. Everyone is tense. The third murder had put everyone even more on edge than before. All the werewolves are staying at the same hotel, so it's impossible for them to avoid each other. The Hales could avoid it, since they're the hosts, but Stiles knows that they shouldn't. So he goes to the hotel and hangs out with Derek in the arts and crafts room, learns some martial arts stuff from Gordon in the violence room, tries to be as ubiquitous a presence as he can be. Most of the humans who haven't been chosen have dropped out by now, and some of the werewolves who haven't staked a claim are making themselves scarce as well. With 5 days to go, Stiles is starting to wonder what Deucalion's last move is going to be. And he finds out that evening, while the six of them are having dinner together at a little restaurant near the hotel. Deucalion walks in with the rest of his pack behind him, and Stiles feels everyone at the table go tense, including himself. "So," Deucalion says, as the group of them rings the Hales in, "I have to give you some points for creativity, Laura. Hiring a hunter to come pose as your mate and kill your rivals for you under the table? Impressive." Laura's jaw sets, and she's clearly forcing herself to remain calm, but she does it. "Creative is the right word for it." "Did you think you would get away with it?" Ennis growls. "We should rip him to pieces right now." "Touch my mate, and I will personally remove any reason you might have to seek one for yourself," Laura snarls right back. "You don't scare me," Ennis says with a sneer. "I noticed that you didn't find anybody," Laura replies. "Tell me, was it your charming looks or your winning personality that scared all the ladies away?" "If I ever chose anybody, it wouldn't be a pathetic human," Ennis retorts. Stiles really wants to say something at that, but he's letting Laura run the show, for now, at least. "Should have told Kali that you had that rule," Laura says. "I notice you didn't bring along your pretty little mate, Kali. Afraid she can't hack it?" Kali's lip curls back into a snarl. "Who I choose as a mate is none of your business." "Sweetheart, you took the words right out of my mouth," Laura says. "Are we done here?" "For now," Deucalion says, "but the time is going to come when your hunter friend is going to answer for what he's done here." "Look, in case it escaped your notice," Laura says, "Gordon has an alibi for the third murder. He was doing the scavenger hunt with Isaac." Deucalion shrugs. "So your new pack member is covering for him. So what?" Cora rises to her feet with a growl. "Are you calling my mate a liar?" Deucalion smirks at her. "I'm sure he thinks it's for your own good." "So you're calling him a liar and a fool?" Cora snarls. Deucalion looks at Laura and says, "Better put your baby bitch back on her leash, Laura." Now it's Derek who jolts to his feet. "Don't talk about my sister that way," he says, and Stiles starts to wonder if they're seriously going to have a brawl right in the middle of the restaurant. He can tell that Gordon is wondering, too, because he's got that loose, easy stance, even sitting down, that implies he's ready for a fight. "What are you going to do about it?" Ennis asks, getting right into Derek's face. "I'm going to tear out your throat," Derek snaps back. "With my teeth." Ennis's response is physical, as Stiles had half expected it would be. One arm swings out in what looks like it will be a very punishing blow. Derek doesn't flinch, and before it hits him, Laura's on her feet. She grabs Ennis's arm, twists it around, and sends him flipping over her shoulder. Then she rises from her crouch, fangs bared and eyes gleaming crimson. But she doesn't waste a second on Ennis. She turns right to Deucalion and says, "We're done here. Challenge accepted. Moonrise. Bring your pallbearers." The corner of Deucalion's mouth twitches in a smirk. "If that's what you want," he says, and turns and walks away. The twins get Ennis back on his feet, and he shoots Laura a scowl as the group departs the restaurant. "Oh, fuck," Laura says, sinking into her chair, stunned. "Oh, fuck. I am so fucked. Wow, that was, dramatic," Stiles says. Gordon reaches over and takes Laura's hand in his. "You're going to win this," he says to her.
Newsflash, Gordon," Laura says. "Deucalion is twice my age and about 5 times stronger than me."
"We'll work it out," Gordon says, unperturbed. "Come on, let's go." He tugs her to her feet and the two of them leave the restaurant. Laura looks a little wobbly, but Gordon has an arm around her waist, so her steps are firm. Cora is pale, and Derek is scowling into his sandwich. Stiles' brain works feverishly on some way to help, but he knows that they can't avoid what's coming. Deucalion had always planned to force a challenge match with Laura, and one way or another, he would have gotten what he wanted.
"Come on," Derek finally says. "Let's go. We should go tell Peter what happened, if Laura hasn't already."
When they leave the restaurant, Stiles is surprised to see Deucalion waiting for them. He's alone, as far as Stiles can tell, sitting on a bench. He stands up as they approach, and Derek tenses.
"What do you want?"
"Oh, I thought it was about what you might want," Deucalion says. He's still got that ever-present smirk on his face. "As in, to live to the end of the ceremonies."
"I'm not interested in talking to you," Derek says. "Especially not without my alpha."
"But she isn't your alpha anymore. Or, at least, she won't be by the time the moon sets," Deucalion says. "I will be.
So shouldn't we all try to get along?"
Derek bares his teeth.
"I will die in a bloody spectacle before I ever accept one command from you."
"Yes, that does seem to be the most likely outcome," Deucalion says. "But it isn't necessary. Tell your sister to cede the challenge. She can be my beta. All she has to do is kill the hunter."
"Fuck off," Derek says. "We all know the only reason you want us as betas is so you can kill us and absorb our power. We're dead either way, so why the fuck should I do anything to help you at all?"
"Well," Deucalion says, "I thought you might be interested in whether or not I would let your mate live." Derek freezes, a growl bubbling up low in his throat. Stiles pushes past him and says,
"Are you threatening me? Because I don't give a flying fuck about what a big bad alpha you are. I will destroy you, even if I have to haunt your sorry blind ass to do it."
Deucalion never stops smirking. "I just thought I would offer." To Derek, he says,
"Talk some sense into your sister. If she kills the hunter, I will let your pack cede their territory to me, and we'll be done here."
Without another word, he turns and walks away. They're left standing on the sidewalk, both of them stunned.
"What the fuck just happened?"
Cora finally blurts out. Derek's jaw tightens.
"More useless posturing. I..."
"No," Stiles says, frowning suddenly. "Cora's got a point. What just happened? Why was that necessary? He's already won. He's gotten what he wanted.
Laura challenged him. He'll kill her by the rules, take her pack, take her territory.
Why did he stay behind to issue more threats? Specifically when Laura wasn't here?" Derek pushes both hands through his hair.
"I don't know. How in the hell would I know?"
Stiles stares after the departed alpha, his mind clicking through everything that Deucalion had said.
"He doesn't know who's killing the werewolves," he says. I thought he was the one killing the werewolves, Isaac says, uncertain. No, Stiles said. We never knew that for sure. We assumed that Deucalion was responsible, that he was framing Laura and using it to weaken her position. But he never really needed to do that. Laura couldn't ignore his challenges, as subtle as they were. It was always going to come down to this somehow. And if Deucalion is demanding that Laura kill Gordon...
He thinks Gordon did it, Derek realizes.
He actually believes that Gordon is a hunter.
But we know he isn't, Stiles says, or at least that he isn't responsible for the third murder, which makes it far less likely that he's responsible for any of them. So if it's not us, and it's not Deucalion, then who the hell is it?
Someone who would benefit by maneuvering Deucalion and Laura against each other? Derek says, frowning.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Why would anyone need to do that?
Deucalion must have enemies, right? Cora says. Maybe this was never about us.
Derek is still frowning, but Stiles says,
No, she's right. Look, Deucalion is a powerful alpha, but Laura is no lightweight. She'll lose, but she'll go down swinging, and Deucalion won't walk away unscathed. Someone is using Laura to take Deucalion down enough notches to make him vulnerable.
Jesus, Derek says. And we have no idea who that could be.
Stiles lets out a breath.
I think we'd better talk to my father.
You want to run that by me again? Sheriff Stilinski says, with that annoyed face that tells Stiles what he's actually saying is back up and say something else entirely. And in this case, he doesn't even give Stiles a chance to do that. You're saying that after all the lectures I've given you, all the grounding that I've had to hold off on until this three-ring circus is over, you're still trying to investigate?
Dad, no, Stiles says. This wasn't my fault.
It's true, Derek says, somewhat sourly. Deucalion cornered us in a restaurant. There was no investigation going on.
Stilinski narrows his eyes at the two.
Okay, he says. Say I believe you. And say that Deucalion isn't responsible for these murders. Do you have any idea who the hell is?
Well, no, Stiles says. That's why we're here.
Sheriff Stilinski rubs a hand over his face.
Okay, he says. You have 2 minutes. Convince me.
It takes less than 60 seconds for Stiles to summarize why they've decided Deucalion isn't responsible, and why it's vital that they figure out who is responsible before the challenge match.
Because if someone is trying to play Deucalion, we can get the match called off, probably, Stiles says, in that there will be bigger fish to fry, and we do not want this match to go down. The results will be a freaking disaster.
Despite all his annoyed words, Stilinski looks thoughtful, and he's obviously running through all the facts in his head.
Well, I can see why Deucalion would have a lot of enemies, but that leaves us with a lot of suspects, and not a lot of time to rule any of them out.
You did background checks on everyone, right? Derek asks, and Sheriff Stilinski nods.
Derek hesitates, then says,
Including Gordon? Because Deucalion said something about him, using a false name, having done hunter stuff in the military?
Let me get the file, Stilinski says. He shuffles in his office for a few minutes, then grimaces and turns to the old computer.
Yeah, okay, it's not a fake name, he says. He changed his name. But that's not the same thing. It was a legal change. He hits the page down button several times. While he was in the service, he was badly injured. Another man in his unit carried him to safety and died from his own injuries not long afterward. Gordon got a Purple Heart, the friend got a posthumous Medal of Honor, etc. Gordon changed his last name to James, saying he wanted to carry his friend with him wherever he went. The courts approved it.
Derek hesitates.
That attack. Were werewolves involved?
No, Stilinski says.
No, if that had come up in the background check, he wouldn't have gotten in. We screen for all that stuff, you know that. It was insurgents in Afghanistan, it looks like.
He looks up and shakes his head.
Yeah, he did some work in the Marines, hunting down rogue wolves in the Philippines, it looks like. But the missions were approved by the North American Werewolf Council. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so it wasn't Gordon. We know it wasn't Gordon. Let's get on with things, Stiles says impatiently.
I still think it was a human, a new voice says, and Stiles and his father nearly jump out of their skin. Derek doesn't because he heard Peter coming. He glances up and sighs a little as his uncle enters the office.
Sorry to intrude. Cora gave me the highlights, and I thought I might be needed.
Shouldn't you be helping Laura prepare? Derek asks.
Prepare for what? Peter asks. Getting her head ripped off?
No, thank you. I'll leave that to Gordon. I'd rather be here trying to make sure the match doesn't happen at all.
He turns to Sheriff Stilinski and says, It's been a while since we last met. Peter Hale. Sorry about the whole murder thing.
Sheriff Stilinski says.
They brought him back from the dead, Stiles says, figuring it would be better to just cut to the chase.
Stilinski rubs both hands over his face.
I can't imagine why, he says,
somewhat dryly. Peter quirks an eyebrow, amused.
Okay, you think it was a human. Why?
Because it would be extremely unusual for a werewolf to cut another werewolf in half, Peter says. I'm not saying it's never done, just that it's unusual. A show of extreme force, like they aren't sure they have the juice to get the job done, which I could see happening once, but three times? No. And I still think if it had been one wolf against another, there would have been more of a struggle each time.
I actually agree with him there, Derek says, and Sheriff Stilinski nods. The problem is that humans just don't have the same motives, Stilinski says. They can't seize Laura's territory.
But this isn't about Laura, remember? Stiles says. That's the piece we've been missing this whole time. We've thought it was about Laura and Laura's territory, but it isn't. It's about Deucalion, and that changes the motive entirely, and changes the suspect pool, too.
What about Kali? Peter says thoughtfully. She's second to Deucalion. She could gain control of the other alphas if she takes him out. And she seems strangely attached to that little brunette she's picked up. What if Deucalion made it clear that Kali wouldn't be allowed to keep her, would be expected to kill her after making her pack?
That's not a bad theory, Stiles says, but you said you thought it was a human.
True, Peter says. There are other alphas in the rituals. Maybe they've convinced their new mate or brought a plant to do their dirty work for them. If an alpha killed Deucalion, they would seize control of the alpha pack.
Okay, well, let's start with the humans that have been claimed by an alpha, Stilinski says. Make a list for me, he adds, shoving a pad of paper and a pencil at Derek. Between the two werewolves, they manage to list all the alphas that have chosen. There are seven of them, not counting Laura herself.
Give me the mates' names, Sheriff Stilinski says.
Derek just blinks at him. Peter rolls his eyes and says, Ashante Wright, Angel Cavazos. He pauses for a moment while Sheriff Stilinski pulls out those files. Jennifer Blake, Luke Eaton.
Wait, hold up a sec, Sheriff Stilinski says. Jennifer what now?
Blake. He types for a moment and frowns.
She's not coming up. You're sure about that name?
It's not exactly difficult to remember, Peter says, frowning.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Stilinski says. She doesn't have a file.
Did you miss a background check? Stiles asks, then winces underneath his father's glare. There's a few more moments of typing.
Here's the spreadsheet with all the registered contestants, Stilinski says. 5,342. And here's the folder with all the background checks, of which there are 5,342. No, I did not miss anybody.
Is there a Jennifer Blake registered? Peter asks, leaning over his shoulder. Stilinski skims down the list to the B's.
Nope. That's not possible, Derek says. She was participating in events. You can't get into the auction or things like that if you aren't officially registered.
Truth, Stiles says. I always saw them look through the list for my name and check my ID whenever I did anything like that.
Of course, Peter says. It all makes sense now.
Oh, really? Stiles asks, exasperated. because the rest of us are actually more confused.
She's a witch, Peter says.
That's how she took down alphas without them giving her a fight. That's how she's getting in and out of events without being registered. How she got Scarlet down to the maze and got in without anyone seeing her.
Okay, but why? Stiles asks. Do you think she's doing it for Kali?
Peter thinks about this for a few moments.
Maybe, he says, but probably not. It takes time and effort and a lot of blood to be as powerful as she apparently is. She's been preparing for this for years. My guess is that she's made sacrifices along the fivefold knot.
The what?
Three different voices say.
Peter sighs, as if to ask why he has to deal with people so far his intellectual inferior.
Sacrifices to gain power, he says. Five of them, in groups of three. They would have been fairly brutal.
Okay, wait, I know this, Stilinski says. I heard about it a few years ago, up in Idaho, Wyoming, that area. Never in the same place twice, spaced out over the course of years. Whenever they thought the killer had stopped, there would be another grouping.
He's typing rapidly as he speaks.
And yes, there were five of them, 15 bodies all told.
She's powerful, then, Peter muses, almost to himself. But she doesn't think she's powerful enough to take on the Alpha Pack alone. She's manipulated us into fighting them for her, and then she'll come in and mop up whatever's left.
Look, this is all fascinating, but we still have shit for proof. If we say anything, she'll just deny it and play helpless damsel in distress, and we've got less than an hour before the challenge match, Derek says, checking his watch.
She must be using a fake name, right? Stiles says. Because if she's a witch that Deucalion pissed off, I'm sure he would remember. So she's using a fake name, a false face. We need to figure out who she really is. Dad, I know you didn't do a background check on Jennifer Blake before, but can you do one now?
In reality, not really, Sheriff Stilinski says. Without a social security or a driver's license number, it's too common a name, but...
Well, he frowns, considering. If she's the one who committed all these murders, she must have lived in the area. Maybe if I look through...
He trails off into mumbles and starts typing again.
That's assuming she's been using the same alias this whole time, Peter cautions. We have no reason to think she...
Got it, Sheriff Stilinski says, and Stiles grins at Peter.
There's more than one Jennifer Blake in Wyoming and in Idaho, but only one who lived in both places at the time of these murders. So now I've got her information, and it looks like she didn't really exist before about 7 years ago.
That was the time of the last mating ritual, Stiles says. Could that be significant?
Peter shakes his head.
It's also the timing of something much more important. That's when Deucalion lost his eyesight and killed his pack, when he convinced Kali and Ennis to do the same. Our little witch was a survivor, it seems, and now she's out for revenge.
How could she have survived? Derek asks, frowning.
I heard they tore everyone to pieces.
Peter shrugs.
I got torn in half. She's a witch. Anything's possible.
You know, I think I recall.
Sheriff Stilinski was frowning. This would have been, what, about 6 months before the fire?
There was a woman, a Jane Doe, who we found in the woods, cut practically to shreds, but miraculously somehow still alive. We brought her into the hospital, patched her up. She never said a word about who she was, and then she disappeared a few days later, just got up and walked out without anyone noticing.
This doesn't get us any closer to knowing who she is, Stiles says.
Yes, it does, Peter says, because Kali's emissary was her mate, chosen just a few months before Kali and Ennis killed their packs. Pull up the rolls from that year, see who Kali chose.
Jesus, she killed her mate? Derek asks.
And here I thought you didn't believe in all this, nephew, Peter says, with a smirk.
Also, apparently, she didn't.
Then she chose her all over again, Stiles says, fascinated despite himself.
Jesus, do you think she knows?
Hard to say, Peter says.
Doesn't really matter. Julia Bakari, Sheriff Stilinski says.
Derek looks at his watch.
20 minutes. Let's go.
Chapter 12.
The entire violence room has been cleared out for the upcoming match. They've expanded one of the boxing rings and placed chairs around it for spectators, of which it looks like there are going to be dozens. The Alpha Pack, Les Deucalion, are clustered to one side. Jennifer is standing with Kali, the lights glinting off the collar she's wearing. Stiles wonders again if Kali realizes exactly who she chose. Lara is sitting on the other edge of the ring. She looks pale and ill. Cora is standing behind her hand, squeezing her shoulders. Stiles doesn't see Gordon anywhere and wonders where he could have gotten off to. Isaac is standing with Scott, Erica, and Boyd in a tight knot on the other side of the room. Stiles looks over and nods at Scott to indicate that he's okay. His heart is beating wildly, and he's sure that every werewolf in the room can hear it. Nothing wrong with that. He has every right to be nervous.
Stay back here, Derek says, leaving him behind the last row of chairs.
Stiles nods and watches as he walks over to his sister, has a quiet word with her. Deucalion is already in the ring. He's wearing the same V-neck, same jeans, same leather jacket. He's put his cane aside. Lara is dressed in a tight tank top and skinny jeans. It's not exactly a flattering outfit, but it'll be good for a fight. Her hair is braided and pinned close to her head. Stiles notices that Cora is dressed the same way. Derek is pulling off his jacket to reveal relatively tight clothes underneath it. They're all prepared for a fight.
There are no rules to a challenge match, Derek explained on the way over. Just two werewolves in a ring trying to kill each other until one is dead or has yielded the match. With all the power that Deucalion absorbed by killing his pack, it won't be a contest.
Any hope of approaching Deucalion about the matter of Julia Bakari in private is gone. There are already too many spectators. Lara is stepping into the ring.
Last chance to seed the match and keep your skin where it belongs, Deucalion says to her.
How about if I give you the opportunity first? Lara asks. We've been working under a misunderstanding. I thought you were killing the werewolves and framing me. You thought I was killing the werewolves to rid myself of rivals.
We've been set up, Deucalion.
Deucalion shrugs. I really don't care, he says. Either way, I got what I wanted.
You might care if you found out who it was that had done all the dirty work behind the scenes, Lara says.
Most likely not, Deucalion says.
Lara's jaw tightens and her gaze flicks over to Derek, then to Stiles. It's obvious in that moment that she can't remember the name. Stiles can't blame her. So much has been going on, and she's clearly scared as hell. So Stiles stands up, points to where Jennifer is sitting with the Alpha Pack, and says loudly,
"Even if we told you it's Julia Bakari?"
Deucalion's face is blank. Stiles' gaze darts to Kali. He sees a moment of confusion, then stark, horrified realization. She starts to turn toward Jennifer, her movements slow, reluctant, almost unwilling, but Jennifer is already on her feet, and moments later Kali reels back, blood gushing from her throat, which Jennifer tore a huge stripe out of. Kali hits the floor hard, and then Ennis is on his feet, but he doesn't have time to shift before Jennifer slams both hands into his chest and sends him sprawling. The twins are up, but too far away to intervene before Jennifer waves in their direction, and a shockwave leaves her hands, knocking them down along with half the werewolves in the audience. Kali is struggling to her knees.
Julie,
she chokes out, blood soaking her chin. Jennifer grabs her by the hair and slams her back down.
I'm not going to kill you, love, she says. I want you to live a long life by yourself, knowing that we were meant to be together, that you chose me not once but twice, and that there is nothing you can do to make me forgive you.
She lets Kali go, and the werewolf collapses back to the ground, curling into a ball. Nobody else moves as Jennifer calmly steps over the ropes at the edge of the ring.
Duke, she says, smiling. Long time no see.
Deucalion nods, smiling back.
"Very clever, Julia," he says. "But your little scheme didn't pan out, it seems. In the end, you're just as alone as you were the day Kali left you for dead in the woods."
Jennifer just laughs and says,
"You still talk too much."
And that's when Laura breaks a chair over Deucalion's head.
Things devolve into chaos very quickly. This isn't a typical challenge match. Jennifer is using magic, and most of the werewolves make a hasty retreat to get out of the way of collateral damage. The other alphas charge forward, and Stiles decides that he might want to take cover, but finds he can't move. His feet are frozen solidly to the ground. He swears and tugs harder, but he can't move an inch. Just before Innes can reach him, Derek charges in from the side. The two of them careen across the room in a ball of snarling and flailing limbs. The twins are up, too, and suddenly they're doing some freaky melding thing which has Stiles squeaking, "What the fuck?" before they toss Cora across the room like she's a rag doll. Peter snarls and springs forward, but he doesn't fare much better, and Innes picks Derek up and just throws him. He lands on top of Cora in a heap. Then it's time for round two. In the ring, Laura has blood on her face, and her eyes are just as crimson. She and Jennifer are basically kicking Deucalion back and forth between them, but he's giving as good as he gets. Stiles sees Laura go down, clutching her arm at one point, before she manages to straighten back up. Jennifer bounces off the ropes and slams into her, knocking them both down. Deucalion slams a foot down on Laura's stomach, and even Stiles can hear her ribs splintering. She lets out a thin, breathless shriek. Kali finally manages to get back to her feet. She's soaked with blood and pale, but recovering. She joins Innes, beating the living hell out of Derek, and Stiles tugs harder at his feet, frustrated and desperate because he knows they can't win this. If it's truly going to take both Laura and Jennifer all their attention to take down Deucalion, the Hales cannot win against the Alphas. Four Alphas versus three Betas? It's not even a contest. That's when Gordon shows up. He's dressed just as impeccably as ever, but it's combat gear now. A Kevlar vest over dark clothes, a leather jacket to protect him from claws, heavy boots and a gun in each hand. He just walks up behind Stiles and shouts, "Hales, down!" and then starts shooting. Most of the Hales are already down, so it doesn't take much effort. He doesn't linger on any target, just squeezes the trigger on both guns before moving on to the next. The twins get a double shot, and every bullet connects. Innes shakes it off and lunges at them, and Gordon calmly drops the pistols and brings out a shotgun instead. He pulls the trigger just as Innes reaches them, and the werewolf gets a chest full of shotgun pellets that are colored suspiciously blue-purple at point-blank range. He reels backward, body spasming and twitching violently. The twins are back up, but the moments of delay were costly. Peter has grabbed the fire extinguisher from the side of the room, and he turns it on them. The monstrously sized combo twin staggers back, and then Peter slams the fire extinguisher into their face. They go down hard. Kali, already weak from Jennifer having torn her throat out, can't recover from the two bullets to the chest that she took. She claws halfway to her feet, and then Derek just grabs her by the back of the neck and slams her back into the floor. "Woo, hey, we—" Stiles gets through before realizing that he can't see Deucalion anywhere. Somewhere, during all the chaos, he's circled around, and now he's grabbed Stiles around the neck. Stiles lets out a little yelp despite himself. "Fuck," Derek snarls, getting to his feet.
We'll have to finish our little chat later, ladies," Deucalion says.
He's out of breath and there's blood staining his clothes, although Stiles isn't sure whose. The hand gripping Stiles' throat is grotesquely malformed, like he had punched a steel wall with it and all the bones had broken.
"This one and I have some unfinished business."
"Let him go," Derek growls.
"Oh, please," Deucalion says. "You should have chosen more wisely, Derek. A pathetic, weak human like this never stood a chance when the stakes were this high. No, don't faint," he snaps, irritated, as Stiles just lets his knees unhinge. It clearly never occurs to Deucalion for an instant that Stiles is faking,
that Stiles just wants to get the hell out of the line of fire. Because of the way Stiles' feet are adhered to the floor, he just goes straight down, his weight dragging Deucalion forward. His hand tightens around Stiles' throat, thumb digging in painfully for a moment before there's a sharp crack, a sudden gunshot, and Deucalion stumbles backward and lands on the floor hard.
"Was that?"
Derek asks, head whipping towards Gordon, but Gordon's guns are down. Stiles opens his eyes and looks across the room to see his father standing off to one side, gun still raised and ready to fire. With the way Stiles had dragged Deucalion forward, he had a perfect shot at the Alpha's head. Stiles coughs a little and says,
"Hey, Dad, I..."
He doesn't have time to say anything else, because Deucalion gets back to his feet with a roar. Sheriff Stilinski fires again, but he doesn't even flinch this time. Then Jennifer jumps across the room, landing flat on both feet in a crouch, and coming up out of it so quickly that her movements are a blur. Her fist slams into Deucalion's chest, and he makes a choked, wheezing noise. Then she rips it back out, holding a large mass of pulsing red-purple tissue in her hand. His heart, the rational part of Stiles' mind, supplies the part that is not currently screaming, as blood gushes down onto where he's crumpled in a heap between the two.
"A heart for a heart," Jennifer says. "You took mine. Now I have yours. Now we're even."
Deucalion collapses again, twitches once, and then goes still.
"Jesus fucking Christ," Gordon says,
adequately summing up the thoughts of everyone in the room. Derek is on his knees next to Stiles a few moments later.
"Are you okay?" he asks, cupping Stiles's face in his hands.
I'm okay, Stiles says, though he's shaking like a leaf. Derek pulls him into an embrace, ignoring all the blood, and cuddles him close, growling at anyone who comes too close. Stiles decides to allow this. It takes a few minutes for everyone to get calmed down. Gordon produces a coil of rope. "Infused with wolfsbane," he says, as if it's completely natural for him to have such a thing, and they tie up the Alphas that are still breathing. Kali looks up at Jennifer, and then bows her head, saying nothing to her, tears mixing with the blood on her face.
"Well," Jennifer says, "I don't know about you guys, but I feel better about everything. Enjoy the rest of your rituals."
"Wait just a goddamn minute," Laura says, her gaze going flat and steely. "You killed werewolves on my territory during the rituals that I was responsible for."
"Yes," Jennifer said, "and all three of them were werewolves who came here with the express purpose of unseating you and stealing your territory.
You're welcome."
Laura folds her arms over her chest.
"All that did was make me look guilty. You framed me." Her lip curls. "You framed my mate."
"I framed you," Jennifer says. "It was never my intention to frame your mate. It's not my fault that Deucalion is an idiot."
There's a pause, and then a smile touches her face.
"Was."
"Was an idiot."
The smile makes her face look beautiful, almost ethereal. It's hard to believe that she's talking about the man she just killed.
"Even so..." Laura lets out a breath. "You set me up. You wanted me to fight Deucalion."
"I figured I would have better luck with him if you'd softened him up for me," Jennifer says, with a shrug.
"Can't argue with that."
It's Gordon who speaks. He walks over and slides an arm around Laura's waist, giving her a squeeze.
"Hell hath no fury, right?"
Laura gives him a look. Then she sighs and nods.
"Okay, yes." To Jennifer, she continues, "Get off my territory. Don't come here again, and we'll call it square."
"Deal," Jennifer says, tossing her hair over her shoulder. She starts to walk away, then she pauses and looks at Stiles. "As for you," she says, and Derek stiffens and growls,
"do you mind explaining why you called me out in front of everyone, right before their challenge match?"
Stiles smirks at her and says, "I figured Laura would have better luck with him if you'd softened him up for her."
Jennifer's eyes narrow. Then she laughs. "Fair enough," she says, and turns and walks away. Her figure fades in the distance and then disappears completely. Stiles finds that he can move his feet off the floor again. Sheriff Stilinski kneels beside his son, mopping ineffectually at the blood that's splattered all over his face and upper body.
"Jesus, kid," he says.
"I'm okay," Stiles reiterates. He still feels a little shaky, and he's glad to have Derek's reassuring bulk at his back. He hopes that the werewolf doesn't let him go any time soon. He looks over at where Peter is quietly conferring with Laura. The alphas are watching her as well, except Kali, who's still staring at the floor. She occasionally gives a quiet shudder. Ennis is scowling, but the twins just look nervous. Laura finally walks over to them. "I should kill all four of you for attacking my pack members," she says, her tone friendly, conversational.
"Get it over with, then,"
Ennis growls at her. Laura shakes her head. "No, I have a better idea. I'll let the four of you live. And in return, I get four new pack members, not counting the mates we've already selected. I get to rebuild my pack. You get to walk away. If anyone has an objection to me rebuilding my pack, you'll come to my defense and help me tell them to shove off. Agreed?" Ennis's scowl deepens. He flicks an uncertain look at Kali, but she still doesn't say anything. Then he looks at Deucalion's body. Somebody has thrown a tarp over it, but the pool of blood has spread outside it. Ennis looks at the tortured look on Kali's face, then looks away.
"Yeah," he says. "Okay, agreed."
"Good." Laura walks over, takes out a knife, and cuts Ennis's bonds with a jerk. Then she does the same to the other three. "Now, since none of you have mates to claim," she says, and Kali gives another shudder, "I'd like to ask you to get the hell off my territory." Ennis nods again. He gets up. The twins have to help Kali to her feet. She's still pale and moving unsteadily. The four of them walk out of the room in a cluster. The meaning of what Laura said sinks in. Stiles turns to her and says wildly, hopefully, "Four? Four new pack members? Would you..." Laura smiles warmly at him. "Yes, Stiles, I meant your friends. I figure that's the least we can do after all your help." "Yes!" Stiles does a double fist pump. Then he blinks. "Okay, but four? Since Cora chose Isaac, there's only three." "Well, I figured I would leave the fourth spot open for you," Laura says, with a somewhat sad smile. "If you wanted it, that is. Since you're not actually Derek's mate, right? It was all just a show that the two of you put on."
Oh, yeah,
Stiles says. He feels Derek tense behind him and gradually start to pull away. The loss is a physical pain.
"I guess I'll have to think about it."
Peter gives a dramatic roll of his eyes. "Keep up appearances until the ceremonies are officially over. The last thing we need are more people poking their noses where they don't belong."
"Right," Stiles says. I really don't know about being a werewolf, though."
"Just take some time to think it over." Laura looks at Gordon and says, teasing, "What about you?" Gordon smiles back.
"I want to be your lover, and I want to be your mate, but I'm not going to be your wolf."
"You had me at lover," Laura says, with a playful swoon. Peter doesn't look quite so amused. "Those shells were filled with wolfsbane," he says.
"Wolfsbane and silver," Gordon says, with a nod.
"Get those from the same hunter friends that you got your sonic pulse emitter from?" Peter asks, and Gordon shrugs and nods again.
"This whole time, you really are a hunter."
"No," Gordon says evenly, "I was a hunter. For a year or so after I quit the military. I had done some werewolf hunting while I was in the Marines, and after I was discharged gave it a whirl stateside. I realized pretty quickly that it wasn't the same at all. that the sanctioned missions I did weren't what I could get here, that it was hunting for sport, or at best vigilantes out for revenge, so I quit. But not before I picked up a number of interesting techniques.
Jesus, Stiles says. You should have told us that.
I told Laura, he says, as soon as Deucalion accused me. She told me not to say anything to anyone else about it. Everyone turns to look at Laura. She glares at them.
It wasn't your business. He wasn't guilty, so it wasn't relevant.
Peter shakes his head. I give up. You're the alpha.
Seconded, Stiles says. Jesus, I'm going home, and I'm going to shower for the next 4 hours, and none of you are invited.
He looks at Laura and says, Hey, let me give Scott the news.
She smiles and nods.
Because it's outside the mating ceremonies, there will be some paperwork. Parental consent. Why don't you bring him over to the loft tomorrow evening? We can have dinner together.
Okay, Stiles says. His father helps him to his feet.
He pulls away from Derek reluctantly. The werewolf hasn't said anything for the past 20 minutes or so.
Are you all right? He asks Derek.
I'm fine, Derek says shortly, getting to his feet.
Come on, Laura, I'll help you explain things to the other werewolves.
Laura looks between the two of them, shakes her head a little, and says, Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow, Stiles.
Stiles waits until they are gone before he leans his head against his father's shoulder.
I'm such a screw-up, he says. Sheriff Stilinski puts an arm around his shoulders and gives him a hard half-hug.
You've had a rough day. Come on now. You two can work it out later. Let's get you home.
Stiles does, in fact, take a long, hot shower. It takes a little while before the water is no longer running pink. He washes his hair twice. It's only after he's gotten out of the shower and dressed that the impact of what had happened hits him. He looks in the mirror and sees a thumbprint-sized bruise on his throat, where Deucalion's grip had tightened before letting go. He goes downstairs and finds his father sitting on the sofa, mindlessly clicking through different channels. Stiles crawls into his lap and shakes, and shakes, and shakes. Once the worst of it has passed, they order a pizza. Sheriff Stilinski contends he deserves pizza for not having some sort of well-deserved freak-out, and watch movies until Stiles falls asleep. By the time he wakes up the next day, the events of the challenge match seem like some kind of vivid dream. He brushes his teeth, makes himself breakfast, and calls Scott. Scott's heard all about what happened. Rumors are running rampant through everyone still attending the rituals, so Stiles has to break it down for him. He relays the events of the previous day with great gusto. When he gets to the end, Scott is completely clueless about how things are going to work out for him.
"So that's good for the Hales, right?" he says. "Getting to choose new pack members? I wonder if they'll all be as awesome as Gordon.
I know for a fact that at least one of them will be every bit as awesome as Gordon," Stiles says, smirking. "Because one of them is going to be you."
"What?" Scott asks, gaping.
Stiles' smirk becomes an open grin.
"Laura basically let me pick, so there's room in the pack for you, Erica, and Boyd, along with a plus one somewhere later down the line."
"Dude!" Scott starts jumping up and down. "You're the best!
Providing that your mom agrees, anyway. But since she agreed to let you participate in the first place, I don't see why she'd have a problem with it now," Stiles says. "Laura's going to call all the parents in question, but she agreed to let me break the news to you guys myself."
Scott tackles him and gives him a back-slapping hug, and Stiles gives him a noogie in return, and then they agree to call the others. Erica is obviously tired and depressed when she shows up. Her mother has dropped her off. They have to go pick up Boyd, since his parents are working, and they don't have a spare car.
"So you guys really want to be werewolves, right?" Stiles asks.
"I will kick you in the nuts so hard that your children will feel it," Erica tells him. Stiles grins at her, too.
"Good, because I got you in."
He explains the situation.
Erica accuses him of bullshitting about 4 times before she finally starts to cry,
then threatens to punch anyone who makes fun of her for crying. Boyd smiles and squeezes her shoulders and gives Stiles a thanks and a bro nod, which Stiles returns.
"What about you?" Scott finally asks.
"What about him?" Erica asks, blinking.
Stiles sighs.
"Me and Derek, it was never actually a thing. He wasn't in the mood to choose his soulmate by how well they could tie knots and shoot guns, so I offered to be his beard for the duration of the ceremony. We figured that would make things easier on him because nobody would be interested in challenging him for me. Obviously, things got a little more complicated than that."
"No shit," Boyd said.
"So it was all an act?" Erica asks, surprised. "Damn, you two should get some sort of Oscar. I would have sworn you were gone on each other."
Stiles tries not to blush.
"The long and short of it is that Laura offered the fourth position to me, but I'm not going to take it. I don't want to be a werewolf."
He doesn't want to say how he really feels about it, which is that he'd be happy to join the Hale Pack, but not like that. Being around Derek but not being able to have him, watching him as he goes on to choose an actual mate, sounds like torture.
"If you say so." Boyd seems skeptical, to put it mildly. Stiles decides to ignore him. After that, it's a lot of phone calls and some paperwork, and they get together for dinner. Laura is warm and welcoming, and nobody makes fun of Erica if she cries a little more. Peter is his usual snarky self, and Stiles spends most of the dinner arguing with him, or chatting with Gordon. Derek avoids him, and he avoids Derek, which he admits is stupid, but he's not going to be the one to make things more awkward than they already are. Isaac can't be changed until after the rituals, when he's officially Cora's mate, so it's just the three of them to be turned. There's surprisingly little ceremony to it, just some signatures, and Laura's final warning, more of a reminder that it could kill them. It's a very slim chance, but still a chance. And then crimson eyes, and three teenagers offering up their wrists to her teeth. Then it's done. Stiles leans back in his chair, exhausted.
"Dude, I'm totally going to be a werewolf,"
Scott says, with an adorable, happy grin, and suddenly everything was worth it.
"Are we supposed to come to the closing ceremonies?" Boyd asks Laura. "As members of your pack?"
"I think it's probably better if we don't go rubbing it in anyone's face," Laura says. To Derek, she says, "I think you and Stiles should probably appear together, though. You don't have to say or do anything, just be there. You two can handle that?"
"Of course," Stiles says.
"We're pals, right, Derek?" he asks, elbowing the beta in the ribs. Derek gives him a scowl, but it's not his usual scowl. There's something underneath it that Stiles hasn't seen before and can't recognize. He quickly turns his attention back to his plate. He's not sure why Derek is angry at him and doesn't know how to handle it.
Cora quickly changes the subject, asking something about the final ceremonies, and Stiles tries to shake it off. It's not until they're all leaving that Peter takes his wrist and pulls him aside.
"You're forgetting what I told you about my nephew," he says, and with that cryptic remark heads down into his basement apartment. Stiles blinks after him, not sure what the hell he's talking about. Then, in a flash of insight, he remembers. Peter had told him that Derek pushes people away if he feels like he let them down. Derek isn't angry at him. Derek is angry at himself. So, since everyone is dividing up, and Scott's mom is coming to pick up Scott and Isaac, Stiles says, "Hey, Derek, drive me home."
What? Derek asks.
"Drive me home," Stiles says patiently. "I don't have a car here. I came with the others."
"Oh, fine then."
Derek grabs his keys and Stiles says goodbye to Scott and the others, and they head out to the Camaro. He makes a few aborted attempts at conversation, but mostly they just drive in silence.
It's not until they've pulled up in front of the Stolensky house that he turns to Derek.
"I'm okay," he says.
"What?" Derek asks.
"You seem angry at me, which I've learned by now is your way of showing that you were worried about me, that you're pissed that you couldn't protect me."
"I'm okay, Derek."
"Yeah, I mean, it was scary and everything, but I don't even have a scratch, just a bruise or two, and I helped protect your pack. It was important to me for a lot of different reasons. I made my own choices, so just ease up on yourself, okay?"
"I don't know what you're talking about," Derek says,
but his scowl is now his old familiar scowl.
"Of course not," Stiles says, and gets out of the car.
"See you Friday?"
"Yeah," Derek says, and drives away.
Chapter 13. The bite takes for all three of the teenagers, and so Derek is kept busy for the last few days of the ceremonies. Nobody will dare challenge Laura after she beat Deucalion, regardless of what help she needed to do it, so there is no reason to continue hanging around the hotel, waiting for people to pick fights with them. Instead, he stays home and talks to the teenagers about anchors and moon phases and learning to control their shift. Laura is still busy at the ceremonies, and Cora is lost in Isaac at the moment, so it falls on him to help the three new pack members out, and if he still finds Scott to be annoying, he tries not to let the teenager's boundless, good-hearted enthusiasm get on his nerves. There are appointments with Erica's doctors about weaning her off her medication, and legal matters regarding Isaac's custody, and more legal matters about Peter's resurrection. Sheriff Stolensky refuses to let him stay dead, saying he should pay taxes like everybody else, and Derek tries to tend to as much as he can so Laura doesn't have to be distracted. It's also a great excuse not to see Stiles. He has no idea what to do about the teenager. He can't stop thinking about him, and a part of him hates Stiles for that. He doesn't know what to do about the fact that Stiles refused the bite, that Stiles looked Laura in the eye and said, "It's been my privilege to help your pack, but I don't want to join it this way." "This way," he had said, and Derek doesn't know what to make of that either. He knows that everyone else thinks he's being an idiot, although Peter's the only one brazen enough to actually say so, and just tries not to let the subject get near Stiles as much as he can. The final ceremonies take place at moonrise, and there will be another moonlight run, and then after that everyone is free to go. The party will go on until dawn, like the opening ceremonies did, but nobody is obligated to stay. In fact, those with mates almost definitely won't. Their blood will be up and hormones will be running rampant. Derek isn't looking forward to it. He's already had to buy condoms for Isaac, to which Isaac had given him this terrified look. "I'm not going to kill you if you have sex with my sister," Derek said, glowering at him, "but if you get her pregnant, I will tie your intestines around your neck."
"Oh, okay," Isaac replied.
Business taken care of, Derek really doesn't have much to focus on until the ceremonies themselves. He doesn't see Stiles anywhere, and wonders if he skipped out. He supposes that he can't blame him, and he doubts anyone will notice or care if he isn't here. Anyone who had an idea about taking Laura's territory has run home with their tails between their legs, in some cases literally. There's no reason to continue the show, and he wonders why Laura said there was, although, really, he knows the answer. But Stiles does show up, wearing the same brown bomber jacket he wore the first night, along with an Iron Man t-shirt and black jeans.
"Hey," he says, with a smile that looks genuine.
"You gonna get me a drink or what?"
Derek does. Everyone is celebrating, moving around the clearing and congratulating those who have successfully chosen and defended their claim. Laura, as the host, is sure to greet everyone.
"Like a wedding," she remarks at one point, somewhat sourly.
But Gordon is with her, his arm around her waist, and it's hard for her to stay sour about anything.
Everything went better than expected, right? Stiles asks, and Derek forces himself to give a little nod. The moon comes up, and he forgets about all of it for a while. He shifts, and he runs. Runs with his family and his pack, and leaves all the rest of it behind. When he comes back, the clearing is still full of people, but there's only one that he notices, a scent that draws him in as surely as the scent of home. He finds himself, quite without meaning to, wrapped up around Stiles, rubbing his cheek against the teenager's temple, leaving his scent all over him. He's about to kiss him when he hears Stiles make a quiet little noise, almost a whimper. He pulls back and away abruptly, and when he sees Stiles, eyes slightly glazed over, mouth half open so he can take in air, chest rising and falling in rapid little pants, he almost loses it again.
I'm sorry, he grinds out between gritted teeth. I didn't mean to...
You didn't? Stiles repeats, looking numb and lost, and Derek can't handle that. He just turns around and jogs away, back into the forest. The next day the ceremonies are officially over and Derek sleeps in. When he comes down from his loft, it's just his family. Laura is making French toast, while Cora blinks sleepily into a mug of tea. Peter is teasing her about whether or not she had a rough night, quote-unquote, and neither sister is dignifying Peter's comments with any sort of response.
"Where's Gordon?" Derek asks, getting himself a cup of coffee.
"He had a job interview," Laura says. "Since it looks like he'll be living in the area permanently," she adds, with a smile that's pure happiness.
"Is he going to look for an apartment, or are you going to skip that step?" Peter asks, amused.
Laura flips him off without looking.
"Where'd you go last night?" she asks Derek. "I didn't see you when the run was over."
I did see Stiles, looking like somebody had kicked his puppy.
Derek hunches inward, hating himself more with every moment.
I may have, come on a little too strong after the run.
Is such a thing possible? Peter asks rhetorically.
Derek glowers at him. Peter just rolls his eyes. Cora lifts his hands in surrender.
You're right, Uncle Peter. He's hopeless.
Peter nods. Laura sighs and says,
Derek, will you please just go talk to the boy?
What's to say? Derek asks.
You offered him a place in the pack. He didn't want it.
What can I say after that?
Hopeless, Peter says, sotto voce. Derek kicks him underneath the table.
Laura casts her gaze toward the ceiling as if praying for patience.
Okay, Derek, she says, let's do a little thought experiment, because I thought that by forcing his hand this way, it would encourage you to do the right thing, but instead you've taken it backwards. You clearly want Stiles to be your mate. You're not going to argue with me on this, are you? She adds, and he growls but shakes his head. So let's just pretend for a minute that Stiles is the werewolf and you're the human, and everything happened in reverse. What would you say if Sheriff Stilinski invited you to be part of his family, independent of Stiles?
I wouldn't.
Derek breaks off, biting his lip.
You'd say no, Laura says, because you don't want to be his son. You want to be Stiles' mate.
It's the same thing. Stiles won't join the pack because I invited him. He'll only join the pack if you invite him. And so help me, God, if you don't get off your ass and go down to his house to do that within the next 5 minutes, I'm going to lock you in the basement with Peter and let him have a go at convincing you.
You're the worst, Derek says, downing the rest of his coffee in one quick swallow that burns his tongue. Then he's on his feet and out of the house. Self-pity doesn't suit Stiles very well, but he figures he's allowed one day to indulge. His father took one look at him, sprawled on the sofa, eating cheese balls and watching Desperate Housewives, and remembered urgent business at the station. His apparent decision is not to get involved. It's his own damn fault, and he knows it.
He had gone ahead and fallen for Derek, despite every neuron in his brain that told him it was a bad idea. Derek had clearly figured it out, grown uncomfortable with it, and decided to break off contact. It all made perfect sense. Stiles figured that by refusing Laura's offer, he was giving silent acceptance to the way Derek wanted to handle this. Everything would have been fine. Broken hearts mend, after all, and he's only 16, if it hadn't been for the way Derek had mauled him after the full moon run, wrapping him into an embrace so warm and complete that Stiles now can't imagine living without it. Then he had backed away with that stunned, horrified look on his face, like all the werewolf pheromones had drained out of his head, and he had realized what he was doing and why it was terrible. Stiles had taken a baseball to the nuts once, and it hadn't been that painful. So he's decided he's going to take a day to feel sorry for himself and hate Derek Hale and hate himself over ever getting involved with him. It's going splendidly when the doorbell rings. Stiles groans and hauls himself off the sofa to answer it. He's disconcerted to see Derek standing there. Disconcerted and then horrified because he is wearing flannel pants, the same t-shirt he had worn the day before, and he's pretty sure that he has chemical cheese residue on his lips. He licks it off, and from the way Derek's eyes widen, that was an even worse idea. Hey, he says. Didn't think I'd be seeing you for a while. Derek flinches again, and Stiles tells himself to shut up. Then the werewolf takes a deep breath, like he's preparing to launch into something. I'm sorry, he says. I never should have gotten you involved in this, and I'm sorry for all the times that I came on too strong or asked you to do stupid things like sit in my lap. That was inappropriate and unnecessary. I just sometimes got carried away. And I'll understand if you don't want anything to do with me after that. Stiles blinks at him, jaw sagging a little. Wait, what? He asks. Derek's jaw tightens. I know that you probably don't want to see me for a while, and that's okay. I hope after all the dust has settled we can still, I don't know, be friends or... Derek! Stiles interrupts, because he's getting an inkling of what's going on here, and he's not about to let the misunderstanding of the century get in the way of his, hopefully, getting somewhere. If he's making a huge mistake, so be it. Better to have at least given it a shot and gotten chopped off at the knees than continue living in a well of uncertainty. Derek, will you shut up and kiss me? Oh, Derek says, his eyes going wide like he just got punched in the gut. Oh, okay. Yes. He steps forward and wraps an arm around Stiles' waist, pulling him into an embrace. They're almost exactly the same height, and Stiles feels his hips tuck right up against Derek's like he fits against him perfectly. Derek leans in, and the first brush of his lips is tentative, almost shy. And somehow, amazing beyond compare. Then Stiles tilts his head and opens his mouth a little and feels Derek's tongue against his teeth, and the word amazing gains new definitions. Derek's hand slides down his arm and then onto the small of his back, and they stumble back a few steps and fetch up against the wall of the house. Derek kisses him slow and deep, like there's nothing else in the world. Stiles finally has to break away to gasp for air, but Derek is undeterred, just burying his face in the crook of Stiles' neck and shoulder, and nuzzling there. Stiles says, because that's the best he can come up with at the moment. Derek huffs out a soft little laugh. I'm sorry. I should have said something sooner. I just didn't want to make things awkward. I so totally know that feel, Stiles says, trying to retain cognizant thought in the face of Derek's mouth against the side of his neck. Hey, it all works out, though. Yay, and all that. Derek nuzzles him one last time and then reluctantly pulls away. He swallows and still looks a little nervous as he says, "Will you... do you want to be my mate?"
"Yes, a million times yes," Stiles says. "But I don't want to be a wolf, okay?"
"Okay," Derek says, and kisses him again. And it's glorious. He knows that he should probably take Stiles back to the den, that the others are going to want the news, that they're going to tease him and mock him and be thrilled for him all at the same time. But he decides against it for the time being. As long as he's here kissing Stiles, the pack can wait. The end.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. Live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are.